Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Sally Ann McKenzie Sisk. Her sermon is based on 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Hear now from the sanctuary of Central Presbyterian Church on the 3rd of July, 2016, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the Reverend Sally Ann McKenzie Sisk.
Our second reading comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. Listen for the word of God. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send a letter along to the king of Israel." So Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, and that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let Naaman come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But Naaman's servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." Holy wisdom, holy word. Early each day, on the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird woman comes. In her own special way to the people she calls, "Come, buy my bags full of crumbs." This is the beginning of a song tucked in the middle of Disney's Mary Poppins. Many of us may remember "A Spoonful of Sugar," "Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious," popping through chalk pavement pictures and tea parties on the ceiling. But we may not all remember the little bird woman, the star of a frequently forgotten, very small scene in the middle of the movie. Though small, this scene is also a vital key to some of the movie's more serious themes about subverting social norms and social hierarchies. The little bird woman scene centers on a single coin, tuppence, which I just happen to have one with me. Tuppence is 2 pennies worth next to nothing. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. Mary Poppins, the practically perfect, wise, magical, eccentric nanny, sings to children Jane and Michael after she has convinced their father, George Banks, to take them on an outing to the bank where he works. The song continues, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds, that's what the little old bird woman cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down where she sells her wares. Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Mary Poppins finishes her song as she reminds the children that sometimes a little thing can be quite important. Sometimes a little thing can be quite important. And it's this little suggestion from Mary Poppins about the little bird woman which results in Jane and Michael noticing the bird woman sitting on the steps of St. Paul's on their way to the bank with their father the next day, which results in Jane and Michael's public shouting event when they insist on spending their tuppence on crumbs for the birds rather than investing it in the bank as the directors command. And this causes a run on the bank, which results in Mr. Banks being fired that night. It's the cry from the little bird woman that results in Mr. Banks being fired, which results in Mr. Banks reconsidering his previous emphasis on carving his niche in the edifice of time, gaining power and influence in dividends and shares, and achieving stature by climbing to high financial strata. And all this results in Mr. Banks flying a kite with his children the following day instead of going to work, which results in the first smile we see on Mr. Banks' face through the entire movie. Sometimes a little thing can be quite important. Now, I'm not using this story to take a stand on the difference between investment and charity, or to make commentary on Brexit, or even to encourage you to give tuppence in the plate today. I'm using this story as a parable about power. The story of Naaman's healing begins with his description of his power. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, is a great man, in high favor with his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man is a mighty warrior. He has influence enough to get the king of Aram to write to the king of Israel. He has wealth enough to take with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He thinks highly enough of himself to think that Elisha would come out himself and cure him in some mighty deed of public power. He thinks highly enough of his country to exclaim that his rivers, the rivers of Damascus, are surely better than all the rivers in Israel. For him, for Naaman, it's all about public achievement, wealth, accolades, connections, and influence. But remember that a little thing can be quite important. For if we read back, it's actually the servant girl from Samaria, the servant girl who was captured and trafficked to Aram. It's the servant girl's little suggestion about the prophet in Israel that results in Naaman's wife approaching Naaman with this crazy idea that maybe this prophet could cure him. That results in Naaman approaching the king of Aram, that results in a letter to the king of Israel, that results in Naaman's trip to meet the prophet. And it's a weird, eccentric prophet, Elisha, not the king of Israel. It's his suggestion that Naaman, a foreign military leader who could easily be staging an undercover attack, be trusted and welcomed into the country, that results in Naaman being allowed to come and seek healing from the prophet in Samaria. And it's Naaman's servant's suggestion that even though Elisha didn't come out and make a great to-do about things, that maybe Naaman should just go ahead and follow Elisha's servant's message and wash 7 times in the Jordan. And all this results in Naaman's healing. So, where is the power really in the story? Sometimes a little thing. A servant girl, a strange prophet, a couple of servants, the rivers of the Jordan, a bag of crumbs, a nanny, a bird woman, tuppence. Sometimes a little thing can be quite important. And that importance, that power, we see now is found on the edges, as if we weren't careful, we would miss it. It's just past the end of our nose. The power is in those few simple words from Naaman's wife's servant girl. There is a prophet in Samaria. The power is in the nudging of Naaman's servants. If he had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? It's in the simple command to wash in the Jordan. The power is in a bag full of crumbs, a few simple words, tuppence, a kite. The power isn't where we expect it might be. So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy. So Mr. Banks, Mrs. Banks, Jane, and Michael skipped into the street with their fist holding tight to the string of a kite. Wisdom, healing, even the most socially conscious of us can get tricked into thinking they come from those with the most influence, wealth, or connections, from those with the most appropriate title or the best education or the right worldly qualifications or the right words to say. God's wisdom and healing are for all of us, even those of us who think we have the most power, even those of us who we are most suspicious of. But wisdom and healing come from somewhere on the edges of our worlds, from the margins that are so easy for the Naamans of the world to ignore, from just past the end of our nose. For that is where God lives. After all, this is how Jesus came to live among us, isn't it? A little stable and a trough where donkeys feed, a plain old hillside, an old fishing boat, unleavened bread, a simple cup of wine, a band of outcasts seated on the floor. A little thing can be quite important. There is a prophet in Samaria. Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen. She's calling to you. In her own special way to the people she calls, come buy my bags full of crumbs. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta, across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries of Central Presbyterian, we invite you to visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers that seeks to be bearers of God's love and justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.